You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 17 tragic real estate investing mistakes. But before I get started, I just want to say hello and hope that everybody is doing well, that you're all working hard on your 2018 plans and, you know, just plowing forward. This is going to be a great year for real estate investing. I had the opportunity, the pleasure yesterday of having coffee with a young couple who is a listener of the show, Joe and Maureen. It's just really encouraging to see, you know, a young couple. They came out from Philadelphia. They're in Southern California, just not too far from where I live. And they're all pumped up. They got their plan together for the year. They're getting ready to basically plot out their plan for financial independence and retiring early through real estate investing. So it's just really a pleasure to meet them and to spend that time and to talk to people that are doing it, that are out there and they're starting to check out properties and really starting to move forward. So to Joe and Maureen, I hope you guys do great. Let's stay in touch here. So, and for those of you that maybe haven't started your plan, that's okay. I mean, you don't have to start right before the year end. You can jump into it and start right now if you want to, just to get that plan in order, because you really do need a plan in place. That's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. So let me move into our topic, 17 tragic real estate investing mistakes. While real estate as an investment is a great way to build wealth and passive income, it's also a perfect way for new real estate investors to lose money quickly. The purpose of this post is to point out common mistakes so that you can avoid or fix them right away. Mistakes, though, keep in mind, are an important part of investing. Everyone makes mistakes, even Warren Buffett or Donald Brennan or whoever it may be. You just have to learn from your mistakes. Now, the two ways to learn from your mistakes, number one, you'll either learn from the ones that you make, or two, you'll learn from the mistakes of others. And I don't know about you, but I prefer to learn from other people's mistakes. And that's why I have this podcast together, is to share some of those that are very common with investors, many that I have experienced as well. The important thing is to keep the mistakes at a minimum. You don't want to make too many of them and then lose heart and end up quitting real estate investing altogether. It's easy to get discouraged early on, so be aware of that. You need to recognize the mistakes for what they are. They're really a necessary part of learning and maturing and in this real estate investing craziness here. So here are my 17 tragic real estate investing mistakes. Number one, never getting started. This is perhaps the biggest loss. You know, some people get out there, they research, they get all the information together, but they never take that first step. And, you know, it's one of those things, I understand it. You know, the fears are tremendous a lot of times in getting started in this path. But yeah, keep in mind, you know, this is one of those things that the real education starts after you begin. You know, you don't want to look back 10 years down the road and say, gosh, if I only would have done that, if I only would have started. Number two, planning as you go. Now, this is something I just talked about. The lack of a plan is one of the biggest mistakes new investors make. They buy a house because they think they got a good deal and then try to figure out what to do once they buy it. Now, that's working backwards. First, you find the plan, then you find the house to fit the plan. Pick your investment model and then go find property to match that. Don't find the strategy after you find the home. Number three, thinking you'll get rich quick. I've talked about this a fair amount on the Old Dogs REI Network. That kind of wrong-headed thinking is fueled, unfortunately, by some self-appointed gurus who have infomercials, and they make it kind of sound so easy to get rich in real estate. And it's not easy. It's hard work and it's unwavering determination. Sure, I believe it can be the fastest way to wealth, but it comes at a cost. You have to be smart about it. You have to be willing to work hard. And you have to understand risk tolerance. Number four, playing Lone Ranger or trying to do it on your own. A key to real estate investing success is building the right team of professionals. At the very least, you need good relationships with at least one real estate agent or broker, an appraiser, a home inspector, a good attorney, CPA, and a lender, both for your own deals and assist with financing for prospective buyers. In the remodeling and maintenance segment of the business, the team includes a plumber, electrician, roofer, painter, heating and air conditioning, and so forth. There are a lot of people that help on that rehab process. You can't build a business as an investor if you're spending all your time fixing leaky faucets and putting out ceiling fans. You want to have a team of people to back you up. Number five, paying too much. The biggest reason investors don't make money is simple. They pay too much for their properties. The profit is locked in immediately once the investor buys the property. Due to mistakes in the analysis, the investor pays too much, and then it's surprised later when he doesn't make any money. So, you know, I always look to have equity built in when you sign those escrow papers. That I really emphasize for two good reasons. One, it gives you a buffer and a head start to be able to build up some equity to be able to leverage to buy more properties. But number two, if there's ever a downturn in the economy, it is a way to back up and to be able to adjust to that, prices are going down so that you're not already in the negative on your property. Number six, skipping homework. You wouldn't think you're qualified to perform open-heart surgery without years of education and training. Yet many wannabe real estate investors don't think twice about taking their financial lives in their hands without even cracking a book. Educate yourself before you put your family's financial future on the line. Read articles, listen to podcasts, look on YouTube, read blogs, check out books from the library. Hey, there's an ancient term. Remember the public library? And look for a local chapter of the National Real Estate Investors Association or other real estate meetups. Speakers at monthly meetings cover anything from buying foreclosures to screening tenants. Also, you make contacts at those meetings who may become future partners, sellers, or investors. Number seven, skipping due diligence or not getting required permits. Investors often like to move forward really quickly on their deals. And I get it. You know, you're trying to reach your goal in time and you don't want to drag your feet. Well, that doesn't mean they sign a contract and write a check without plenty of research, though. That's where a lot of newbies sort of trip up here, is that they don't do their due diligence, research costs, or the market conditions, check local permits, and they end up draining their personal savings because the property needs extensive repairs or they can't sell it. Sometimes new investors are buying property just based on the idea that the property is going to appreciate and miss the fact that it could also be a good cash cow for cash flow as well in the years to come. If they do their due diligence and aren't hit later with anticipated expenses, if you're not careful, that could destroy your bottom line. Misjudging cash flow. If your strategy is to buy, hold, and rent out properties, you need sufficient cash flow to cover all your expenses and maintenance. People think they can get a property manager who will take care of all those things, but not without a cost. Many newbies have never interviewed a property manager and have little idea about how they work and what kinds of additional costs can occur with a property management firm. It's not uncommon for a property to sit on the market for 90 to 120 days before it's leased. Meanwhile, the owner has to pay the mortgage, the taxes, the insurance, the cost of advertising and maintenance. If the owner hasn't budgeted for that, an asset can quickly become a liability. Number 9, lowering the volume. If you're working on one deal at a time, you're doing transactions, not running a business. You need a steady pipeline of prospective deals. Sufficient volume will weed out the marginal deals and let the good ones rise to the top. So create that steady pipeline of leads and constantly sift through those to find the good ones. Number 10, painting yourself into a corner. Many people buy a property and get stuck with it because they only have one exit strategy. They're going to sell it or they're going to rent it out. What if it doesn't sell? What if the rental market stalls? Always have two or three ways to get out of the deal. For example, if plan A is to rehab the house, put it on the market and sell it, then plan B could be to offer a lease option to a buyer. Or plan C might be to hold the house and rent it out. And as a plan D, there's the wholesale option, which would involve selling to another investor at a below market price. Hopefully, you'll still make a profit, but at the very least, you'll cut your losses you're taking every month with carrying costs. 11, miscalculating estimates. After you do your homework, you should double the amount of time and money you think it will take. If you can still make money then and be able to rent it out, it's a good deal. Number 12, falling in love with the property. This is a real common one. The problem is most people look at real estate as a transaction instead of an investment strategy. People fall in love with the property. I say, who cares about the property? I fall in love with the motivated seller. The number is the number, and you don't go above that number. If the deal doesn't work out, you walk away. The best way to solve problems is to have lots of activity and make offers on multiple properties. Then you don't care which one you get as long as the numbers work out in the end. Number 13, skipping inspections. Some people don't want to spend the extra money to have an inspection, but I say an inspection is not extra money. It's mandatory for any property that you buy, and that has to be factored into your deal. An inspection can reveal things like foundational issues, black mold, asbestos, and other critical issues that can rob you of making any kind of profit on that property. Don't be a tightwad here. Spend the money for a good quality inspection. Number 14, not enough capital, running out of cash. This is a biggie for many investors. We just don't anticipate some of the costs that we have to have. So it's a really good idea, okay, to have that reserve, those reserve funds when you purchase that property. Many people don't have enough for the rehabs, necessary CapEx expenses, allowance for vacancies, and 3 to 6 months of reserves for serious downturns or natural disasters and things like that. Make sure you have plenty of cash to back you up, at least that reserve in mind. Number 15, bad location. Too often, investors buy the agents or sellers' rhetoric about how the area is turning around or that it's in the path of progress or whatever, fill in the blank. Do your homework. Before you buy a property, make sure that the area it's located in is a good area where there is growth, where there is rising equity and other strong elements in place. Talk with city planning officials, Chamber of Commerce members, the mayor's office, local cops, people living in the area, inspectors and appraisers, and others that know that area. Once you buy in a bad location, there's not a lot you can do. You either have to sell at a loss, be content with the high maintenance tenants you're going to have to deal with, high turnover, maybe even crime. So make sure you do your homework before you select a location. Remember, some neighborhoods, two blocks over, you have a war zone. And then two blocks from that, you actually have a great booming area. So make sure you definitely look carefully there. Number 16. Underestimating repair costs. After you get your repair estimates, always add on, I would say, 30 to 40%. Unless you have a relative doing the construction or rehab for you, you need to assume costs will run higher and take longer than projected. Number 17, and our last one here, not learning from your mistakes. I always say your real education starts after your first purchase. You will make mistakes, it's a given. But you can mitigate most of the big ones by heeding the list I just presented. And when you do slip up, don't be discouraged. It's part of the learning process. Embrace the mistakes and learn from it. Ask yourself these questions. Every time a mistake happens or something goes wrong, ask yourself these questions. What can I do to prevent this from happening in the future? What did I forget or not know what to do that would have prevented this mistake? What will I never do again? And how can I turn this around to my benefit? Well, that's the list for today. Yes, I know there are plenty of other items I could have had included here, but I tried to hit the most common and the most costly. Again, I really want to emphasize this. Don't be afraid of the mistakes. We all make them in this crazy real estate investing business. It's sort of the cost of admission to the club, so to speak. Watch. After a while, you'll find yourself sitting around with other real estate investors, sharing war stories with some of your buddies at the local REI meeting or meetup or what have you, about the tenant from hell or the building you bought that ended up being a crack house or whatever it was. You know, you want to make sure that you learn from those mistakes. It is a part of the educational process. Don't be afraid to jump in and embrace those mistakes when they happen. You know, you want to try to reduce them down to those that are less severe than others. But the idea is to be able to use that as a means to mature and to become a better investor. Well, that is it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.